think would be of interest to you as one who has spent so much time in this country, and of course the ambassador to Britain, is the great difference in the situation now and the situation in 1968, when we also were having an election. It was assumed, and quite correctly in 1968, that all pressure was on the side of the United States to make any kind of deal at any cost in order to give hope for peace. The situation now is reversed. We are not allowing electoral considerations to enter into our decision at all in Vietnam, which is good. This should not be decided on the basis of elections. It should be decided on the basis of the long-term effect of whatever we agree to. We would like to settle it any time, but as far as we're concerned, the other side persists in the entrenchment attitude. We will wait. I would just leave it at this point in those general terms. A lot depends really on whether the other side feels that that they will have a stronger position after the election, which we hope to win, and in which the issue of Vietnam will definitely be before the American people, and in which the election will be a mandate to an extent, to a great extent, or whether the other side would prefer to negotiate now. It's up to them. As far as we are concerned, we're very relaxed. We are negotiating our agreement very reasonable, as Bill and Rogers has told you, as Dr. Kissinger has told you, told the ambassador and Disher, where we have tried to present a number of alternative proposals which would allow both sides to come out of this with a position that is defensible after sacrificing so much on both sides. The situation now is one where it'll be quite lumpy. Time is not on the side of our Vietnamese. We have no pressures to settle from time standpoint. And we would like to, because of our concern about the loss of life, not ours now, the South Vietnamese, the North Vietnamese. We would like to, too, for another reason. As I said, I met with the Secretary General of Russia, Mr. Mercury, Mr. Seaman, as I said to you, we would like to get Vietnam off the international agenda, because while it has not, fortunately, obstructed these great steps, initiatives that we have undertaken between our two countries, nevertheless, it is it's like a thorn in the toe. We can't walk quite as fast or quite as far within there. We get it out, we can take bigger steps. I would like to say also that we have appreciated the fact that your government, your leaders in these past few months, particularly since our meeting, has been helpful in urging some, has been helpful also in not attempting to exploit this war issue here. I would like to be more specific, perhaps at some later time I can be. Things develop, but that's the state of play. There's a chance, just to summarize, there is a chance, I think, that given on the other side, still further possibilities we have to develop our own relationships.
Эта война, конечно, отравляет международную атмосферу в большой степени. Это видно хотя бы и на работе Объединенных Наций. Хотя формально этот вопрос не в повестке дня ООН, но почти все выступающие от имени своих правителей и делегаций подчеркивают необходимость и значение окончания войны.
the achievement of a settlement in the Middle East situation. We would certainly be very appreciative of any considerations or assessments that you might care to share with us as to how you see the possible way out.
Mr. Barminster, we know, two of us almost in this room, difficult as Vietnam is, difficult as SALT is, difficult as European security is, the Middle East is the most difficult. Because we have here hatreds that go back over 1,000 years. And will probably last for a few thousand more. I would like to be more specific. All that I will indicate to you spread and involve us all, potentially involve us all.
We are working toward that end. We have, as you have, friends that we support that are difficult. But we should work toward that end. And I would think that the possibility of making progress would be greater once we get past the political season.
Получил это, имею в виду заявление о том, что эти ближайшие будущие.
чтобы содействовать урегулированию. Мы к этому готовы. И думаем, что это было бы в интересах наших обеих держав и в интересах мира в этом районе. Я бы хотел это подчеркнуть. Теперь я хотел бы обратить внимание на дальневосточное, на положение на Дальнем Востоке.
На Дальнем Востоке.
ни в коем случае не ущерб нашим отношениям с третьими странами. В отношении Китая наш курс политики, он пробовал определен. Мы будем следовать, не допустим ни на его ущемление наших законных интересов. Хотя мы за налаживание отношений с Китаем, за нормальные отношения. Хотелось бы выразить надежду, что в результате этих переговоров ни одна из этих стран, ни Япония, ни Китай не имеет намерения строить свои отношения и улучшать отношения между ними. Почему ничего трудно возражать, если это происходит на нормальной основе, если это происходит не за счет интересов Советского Союза, вы сами за себя. Лучше скажите, не за счет интересов третьей державы. Вот это я хотел вам высказать, если вы сочтете возможным как-то комментировать, выразите какие-то комментарии по этому поводу, буду признателен.
Now, I mentioned the Far Eastern area not because any events that take place in the there that that provoke any particular concern on our part, but we have noticed that after the meetings between the Chinese and the Japanese leaders, there have been very loud and very sugary statements about one another. Issued by both sides. Now, I would just like to say that to emphasize that whatever happens, whatever occurs in that area, it will not in any way affect our position of principle in respect of both China and Japan. We are prepared and we will go on taking steps to develop and improve our relations with Japan, but that will not be to the detriment of the interests of any third countries. You know that in respect of China, we pursue a very clear-cut and principled line. We will not allow any harm to be caused to our interests, but we are naturally and will not depart one iota from our positions of principle, although we are, of course, in favor of the development of normal friendly relations with China. And I should like also to voice the hope that neither China nor Japan intend to develop and improve their own relationships, which is only too normal when two countries seek to improve their relations, but that they will not seek to do so. And no one naturally could say anything against a desire to bring about such an improvement.
Is it not about this one?
So provided this is done on a normal basis and not to the detriment of the interests of the Soviet Union, and well, it is best for you to say what your attitude is in regard to the interests of the United States in that context. But that is just, those are the remarks that I wish to make in respect to the situation in the Far East. And if you would care to make any comments in return, I would be most happy to hear whatever you have to say.
reducing the possibility of conflict in the Far East. We all know historically that China and Japan have been enemies more often than they have been friends. And even though Japan has no significant military capability at the present time, its enormous economic potential is a base for developing capacity on the military side. Should defense force Japan to move in that direction? We watch the situation closely. We have an even-handed attitude toward it, which I understand is your attitude. When we met with Tanaka, we did not encourage or discourage him in any of the proposals he was going to make to the Chinese. And by the same token, in our contacts with King, we have indicated that King's policy must be determined by its own interests, as it worked, as it negotiates with Japan. I think this, in conclusion, I believe that the Soviet Union and the United States both happen to be Pacific and Asian powers geographically, that we have an interest, both of us, in Japan and China having a more normal relationship, provided that more normal relationship, as the foreign minister has said, does not develop into an agreement or actions between the two, which would be at the detriment of either of any outside power. Their communique certainly was very constructive in that respect. It indicated that as did our Shanghai communique, back to life, which is approximately the same. And so that was constructive. I think, too, we should all recognize that when we talk about Vietnam and even the Middle East, important as both are, the Middle East in terms of its economic potential and the fact that it could bring the great powers into conflict is more dangerous than Vietnam. But on the other hand, the foreign minister very properly has brought up the Far East, even though it isn't a matter of immediate concern. Because when you look at Japan, which is the third after the Soviet Union, the United States economic power in the world today, and China, which is the most populous nation in the world today, what they do with each other has got to affect your future and ours. And right now we're watching it like you are, closely, without taking sides, without attempting to influence its direction, but provided no action is taken about them in concert, which would be to our detriment or to yours.
Благодарю вас за эти замечания. Так как наша беседа с ним к концу подошла, я краткую ремарку в заключение хочу сделать такую. В общем, у нас не вызывает, так сказать, особых замечаний. Ну, оценка с вашей стороны, официальной, других деятелей, результатов московских переговоров. Некоторые явления, которые имеют политические жизни Соединенных Штатов Америки, имеющие отношение к внешней политике, у нас, конечно, вызывает определенные вопросы. Вы знаете наши отношения, так называемые поправки Джексона. Некоторые выступления неофициально вызывают вопросы. Нам кажется, что обеим державам надо держать твердо руль и следовать тому курсу, который им определен. И если нужно, иногда, применяя политические инструменты соответствующие, выправлять этот курс. Одним словом, за то, чтобы твердо идти по тому пути, который наметился в отношении между нашими странами. оценку, кажется, что она не расходится с вашей, наоборот. Вот это хотел я в заключение вам сказать. Благодарю вас за беседу.
Just a small group so we can continue to talk in that group.
Right. You wouldn't have that, The other point
I raise only here because it's important that you said it would be disgusting. As you know, Foreign Minister, the problem of exit visas, et cetera, has been very, very explosive here in this country. We have tried to be very responsible in our coalition on the comments in the West. I don't ask you to respond on it. I know what your views are, but I do think it's important that you said that the subject was one of those that I don't mean that you that I didn't say publicly, but I just wanted to mention the fact that this is something that we are taking a lot of heat on. We know it's an internal affair with you, but it is one that I know that Bill Rogers has discussed, and I thought I should at least mention over here.
Yeah, все-таки вот это последнее замечание хочу одну фразу произнести из шести слов ее главы, я так попытался рассчитать. Значение этого вопроса раздувается совершенно не по основу.
Just in response to the last remarks, Mr. President, I just wish to say one phrase consisting of, I've just counted in my head, of about six words. The significance of that question is being quite unfoundedly blown up.
Indeed, it is more than six, in Russian six.
It was six in Russian.
Thank you.